Powell, and welcome to day two of the Youth at Work Seminar, Rural Development, Inclusive Growth and Youth Work. My name is Remo Adejimi from Ireland, and I'm here still with...
Ivana from Italy.
Yekta from Turkey.
And I suppose before we dive into the agenda for day two, just to get your views, your experience so far, how it's been. For me, it's been as impactful a day as yesterday was. So, Ivana?
Yeah, it was. You're absolutely right. I think it was a nice day. We had some guests, so we got to know more people outside of our conventional network of the ones we already met before. So it was interesting, absolutely. What about you, Jakta?
Yeah, for me too. And not only the topical seminar and the conversation during the day, but also very interesting people like you. So I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, I think I forgot is that today, finally, we met the people who manage the place where we are. So this event is taking place in the youth center here in Trieste, and it's called Polo Giovani Toti, with the collaboration of the municipality of Trieste. And today we met Donatella, who is the director there. It's a super nice place for young people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the highlights from today. So just to start with today's agenda, we looked at the situation in each country, which was very insightful. So everybody had to, we had some guiding notes to take down, to just to channel our thoughts to make sure that we are, I suppose, focusing on highlighting the best practices, the successes, and the challenges as well that we experience in our areas. So it was kind of like a press conference where we took turns to address the press, the members of the press, and do a bit of Q&A. So there was it was good fun. There was a bit of role playing, and so we adopted, depending on the circumstance, we were representing our countries and talking about the initiatives we have. In turn, we were taking the position of a journalist. I know in my role play as a journalist, I leaned into conversations I'd had from yesterday with some of the participants to, you know, to delve into their realities in their communities, which was very, very interesting. So maybe you can add, Yekta, your...
Actually, for me, the role play part was the most interesting. I remember the Rafaela, when she represent us as Maria, but she forgot about her. She forgot about her name as Maria.
Yeah, it's true. Funny. She made up a whole other identity for herself, and then she just forgot mid time what she was doing. Yes, it was very nice. I saw people giving a socio-political perspective on their country as a whole, so it was very nice to get to know more about them. I was very curious personally about Finland and Estonia for two very different reasons, which might be interconnected. Finland keeps ranking the happiest country in the world. I don't know if you guys heard of it, so I was curious to get to know what they do for rural areas and for young people. And then Estonia is probably the only country in the European Union which actually recognizes youth workers as a job, a regular position, right? So that was the reason why I was particularly careful.
Oh. Yeah, and I think one of the reasons Finland is so outstanding is because they have a female prime minister, perhaps.
Yeah, as well.
The youngest.
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe that's an area to explore, whether that's directly linked.
Absolutely.
Then we went on in the afternoon to learn from good and bad practices, which was, I suppose, a deep dive into some key projects that going on in the different communities, in different rural settings, in the amongst the participants. And I think one thing I learned is, as we were sharing, and in my case, as I was sharing the reality of one of the projects that the young people introduced and implemented themselves, which has links to climate action as well, there were instantly contributions from the other participants linking and identifying similar projects that they had executed in their own communities. And if we think about how important climate change is and the focus, it kind of reinforces that, I suppose, we are working. Sometimes it doesn't seem that way, but we are certainly moving in direction of sustainable existence, recycling, upcycling, and those things. So it kind of gave me, I suppose, the comfort that we are really moving things in the right direction. We are all on message in terms of being climate responsible, and I suppose that was a very significant point for me today. In addition to listening and figuring out, okay, this is a project that I can actually implement in my community and propose in Ireland as well. So, Ivana, I don't know what your...
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to actually ask you guys if throughout those these 2 days, there was a specific moment in which you felt more identified with the other person and what they were saying. Like, if anybody told you something about an initiative that could be very, very useful from the places where you're from or whatever you work, and if there was a particular moment in which you said, okay, wow, this is actually something that would be super nice in what I do in my life in my rural community.
Actually, for me, as I'm an environmental engineer, hearing some projects, some regulation in rural area for environment-friendly activities, it was very nice surprise for me. I am very happy to hear that. And it can be applied for every country. At first, for my country, yes, we have some project on environment for rural areas, but I have heard some very nice samples from other countries. I think I will share one with my colleagues and my communities, and it will be very useful for them.
For me personally, I think there are actually two from today. I know there are some from yesterday. I can't really recall it immediately. Yeah. But I think there's two from today. And actually, one of them was discussed yesterday and today. And that's about the villages that are self-sufficient. I think that was Rafaela and talking about having the cooperative where people and the youth are really involved in this practice of working in working in the gardens, growing the vegetables, and that goes into the cooperative and people come in and take what you need, and you know, you give something and you're responsible for a particular product or a particular vegetable, a particular food crop, and it's a great communal style of living. I know how larger organizations will be opposed to that straight away because it takes away people's dependence on these larger organizations who are focused on, you know, profit and productivity and all of that. So people are focusing on their basic need, take what you need, and you know, it eliminates waste as well. So I was thinking that's a model we can try to introduce. Only God knows whether we'll succeed, but I know we're trying to have 15-minute cities, so have net zero carbon footprint in my town itself. So we are making some changes to the open spaces, and a few car parks were taken off the main street, and the amount of complaints we got just about that, it just shows that, you know, we have a long way to go to change mindsets. And in fairness, it's difficult when you're in rural communities where transport is not as readily available as metropolitan cities. So obviously you understand how, but I'm sure there are ways that we can, you know, gradually shift. And it has to be something that we work with the people to shift and not, you know, impose practices and principles, which can happen. So hopefully we'll arrive at that. And the second thing was the presentation from Dr. Sami.
Yeah.
And in just having that that website to help fulfill the orders from people in the art sector who make these crafts. I think every community has those people that are good with their hands, that make different things to sell. We have local markets where people come to sell their goods, but to have that fulfillment opportunity, so you're expanding your market base where, you know, you can make and, you know, it's exported. there's more, I suppose, funds coming into the local economy, and that social aspect where every year you sell, you're getting 7 back, which, you know, helps develop the community as well. And I know that there's a local hair salon in Longford where I have been talking to the owner to have a media profile so that people can make appointments online. And all I've gotten was a nod, like, yeah, I'm going to do it. But I can actually support her because she's not able to find the time, and maybe she feels it's a daunting prospect. But that has given me idea to maybe, I know somebody that creates websites and supports people to have an online profile. So what I can do is marry those businesses, and he can support her to create the profile and manage the profile, the website on her behalf, similar to this souk. Is it Souk?
Souk Farm.
Yeah, similar to that. Okay. But obviously, this developer will then, you know, support in the I suppose realization of that, because I know it will help really take her business to the next level and expand her her client base as well. And if she's struggling, I'm sure there are other businesses that still don't have an online profile. And in today's world, you need to just, you know, give your business every opportunity to thrive. I think I've
you were totally right. But because this person, the guest, Sami, we said, right, he gave us some really interesting insights into this, because he said a very fair thing, I guess. The local people have to mind their business. Like, this is what they want in most cases. We don't have to force them to change their mind if they don't feel ready for it. But what we should do as, I think, change makers is what is a common term, which can actually, how do you say that, summarize what social entrepreneurs do, counselors do, all the people who are participating in here. We should help them to be supported in what they do, and have the same kind of opportunities that people in urban areas maybe would have. Because in a big city, it's practically impossible that you find a saloon with no social media account. Am I right?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
I can't imagine that. I absolutely can't imagine that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what we're supposed to have, a field visit as part of the seminar, but it wasn't possible. That was actually one of the things I was looking forward to.
Me too. Everybody.
But at least, you know, some experts came to us and shared their realities as well, which is good. And I think another, we talked about the Padlet as well, just gathering the contact details of these contributors in at the seminar will also be great for us. And I think the coffee breaks are also a very good part of it. I don't think I've had as much coffee on a daily basis as I've had at this seminar, but like, I'm thriving for it. So maybe there's something in the coffee. It's Illy coffee.
Illy is the brand that comes directly from Trieste. Yeah, if you are in Italy, you basically have from 2 to 5, 6 espressos and cafes every day. So that's normal.
Jekta, can you just wrap up the day's activities from your perspective?
Actually, for me today, there are many interesting things. But as you mentioned about Sami's work was very valuable for me, because when I saw the video which has lovely old Arab lady has playing the on the video, I think it can be very... to be inspirative for other ladies, for other people in rural areas, because when you touch the deaf people, you can make very good work and can be very beneficial for them, for community actually. So I think we share this kind of information with everyone, with our communities, then our country and the world.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. You're so right, Yekta. And something else that that Dr. Sami pointed out as well was the fact that these artisan producers in rural communities tend to get exploited mm-hmm. by bigger organizations that, you know, buy their products for next to nothing and then make like 200 or 300% profit off of it. So it helps to I suppose, take off that opportunity for exploitation, make sure that the manufacturer is making the maximum, I suppose, return on their investment in and the time they spend in creating these wonderful products as well, this great wares that, you know, you'd love to have pieces in your home, and it just mm-hmm. gives it that I suppose that uniqueness that, you know, that I'm not going to see this in my neighbor's house, you know, that kind of way. And it just goes to show how we can support each other in our communities in an even small way. Something so simple as to have a website to link a seller with buyer, mm-hmm. and just ensure that, you know, packaging is nice. There's so many times I get things delivered and, you know, I look at the packaging and think, oh my God, this is beautiful. I don't want to open it, you know. So, you know, things like that. And it's great to see that, you know, we look out for each other in our communities and in rural communities. I think one of the great advantages of being in a rural community is you're small, it's close knit, and you really
know each other
care.
Better.
You know each other. You know you care for the welfare of each person. So to have that support system in terms of economic activities is really good as well. So maybe you want to summarize the day as well before we wrap up.
Yeah, absolutely. No, like you said, you give us an amazing summary of what we did today. I think it was a very nice day, especially the part where we welcomed the guests in presence. I guess it was a very good substitute activity to the field visits that unfortunately were missing, because we got in touch with the people who managed the youth center at first, and so we also understood what happens there when we are not there, when we're not doing the seminar. And for me personally, it was very important to get to know something about other Italian young people who are trying to kind of do the shift from their knowledge to the entrepreneurial way and the nonprofit sector, because in Italy, unfortunately, we do have a lot of bureaucracy, which is kind of blocking us and preventing us from take our activities to the next level and make them more sustainable in the long term. So I think I will keep in contact with those guys, and it was nice to meet a professor from the university as well, because I study here.
I knew him,
and so I got to know a little bit about his activity outside mm-hmm. of the university, and I think it's great. Also, we mentioned the program, which is focused on cross-border collaboration, because we are here next to the border between Italy and Slovenia. It's go borderless, and I know a lot of people from our group are actually interested in what's going to happen towards 2025.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. That's great. So it's been a very insightful day. We have learned so much and gotten so many ideas, and we're really looking forward to day three of the seminar. And for now, we are going to be looking for a nice cafe for an aperitivo.
Yeah, and, nice. Well so, done.
Stay tuned for day three tomorrow, where we have a final day of the seminar, and we will, fill you in on the activities of the day. So from all of us, it is... Ciao.
Ciao.